May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We are living in strange and difficult times, aren't we? Challenging and ambiguous times when it's difficult to stay encouraged. Here we are still meeting as a community for Sunday worship on Zoom, almost 21 months since the pandemic shut the world down. There were points during this time where we thought we were turning the corner, and there was a hope that things would get better after the first 3 or 4 months, but then wave two got through that, then wave three, and just recently wave four. And as time moves on, each time the light seems to be burning a bit brighter, but our hope is a bit more tempered, isn't it? It can be defeating. It can be discouraging. I imagine that's what it must have been like for our ancestors and everyone else during the Great Wars. Rumors would abound about the end of the war being just around the corner, and then another year of occupation, hunger, rationing, being in hiding, or this year the boys will be home for Christmas. But for those who are fighting, another tour of duty, another year in the trenches, another year on the front lines, and more friends and comrades died or were severely, even permanently wounded. We too have been longing for normal family Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter get-togethers for almost 2 years now. In such times, how does one remain encouraged, hopeful, faith-filled, waiting for an endpoint that is constantly shifting? These wars are now part of our history, as are other plagues, like the Spanish flu. That one lasted over 2 years, infecting 500 million people, over a third of the world's population, and resulted in 50 million deaths, compared to the 5 million plus who have died from COVID to date. Now, I'm not minimizing what we're going through today. It doesn't help when you're living day after day in the very heart of today's pandemic to say, well, the other one was so much worse with regard to outcomes. So move on, get over it, deal with it. We are living in it now. And how many of us are often sick and tired of being sick and tired, living in constant ambiguity, mixed messages, and even fear? Sick and tired of being sick and tired is a clever and catchy phrase for sure, but it also signifies deep resignation, even depletion. No more energy, no more strength, no desire even to try to keep on going, no daring to hope. Peter, in the letter we read this morning, is writing to a people filled with discouragement and hopelessness. He wrote it about 30 or so years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the particular group of Christians to whom he is writing are spread out over what we know today as northern Turkey or thereabouts. And many of the Christians in this region were diaspora Jews or dispersed Jews, scattered outside of their traditional Jewish homelands of Palestine. And together with the Gentile Christians, they formed Christian communities that lived among pagans. They were different enough from the society in which they lived that Peter refers to them as God's chosen strangers or exiles. Different isn't always seen as good or acceptable, is it? Today, we try to be mindful about inclusion and diversity. But these Christians were seen as misfits, even deviants, trying to live out their lives in faith in a pagan society. And they were persecuted for doing that. It wasn't the official state-sponsored persecution that we typically think of with arrests and being tossed into jail, martyrdom, and so on, because it wasn't illegal to be a Christian yet. Instead of state-sponsored persecution, it was their former friends, neighbors, masters, and business associates who were giving them a really hard time, because these Christians wouldn't worship and make sacrifices to the local gods. So they were considered impious because they refused to worship the emperor. So they were unpatriotic. Because they wouldn't take part in the communal rites and festivities, activities that involved idol worship, drunkenness, rituals, sexual acts, they were antisocial. And physical abuse wasn't out of the question either, particularly for Christian slaves serving pagan masters. And if they were tradespeople, their services were shunned. So financial hardship was part of the experience too. Abused, maligned, oppressed, and ostracized in all aspects of their daily and social lives. No wonder they were discouraged, filled with fear, defeat, hopelessness. Well, we can so identify with that, can't we? It's different circumstances for sure, but the outcomes are the same. So, what is it that Peter needs to remind them about? What wisdom can Peter offer to them and to us? We heard in our first reading today from the Book of Wisdom, words of wisdom, and it said that souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, for in the sight of others they were punished, but their hope is full of immortality. Now, those words in the Old Testament were written about 50 or so years before Christ. They were meant for the Jews. So people have had hard times all through history, right? Peter reframes it for his audience about 100 years later, because there's a whole different context now. Something incredible happened in the meantime. God sent his son into the world. And with his death on the cross, the self-sacrificial death of God himself, there's a new paradigm added to the messages from the Old Testament. And it's that message of love that turns everything upside down. A message that emphasizes not one's behavior and righteousness, which would earn God's love. It's the other way around. The emphasis revealed in the death and resurrection of Jesus was about God's unconditional love for each being in his creation, the constant, unchanging, uplifting, always available love of God, available in the here and now, when we're going through what we're going through, as well as in the hereafter. And I think this is why Peter speaks not just about hope in his letter that we read this morning, but a living hope. Peter reminds those in the diaspora, in that region, that God loves, values, and honors them, even if their neighbors don't. That in the midst of their suffering, they can trust and rely on God's fathomless love, a love that offers reassurance and hope, not only for eternal salvation after this life, but reassurance and hope in the midst of the suffering in this present world. God is present, always. Therefore, hope is alive. Hope is immortal, because love is immortal and God is love. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus rose again, to demonstrate with his own life how worthy we are of such a love, the constant, unchanging, and reliable love that is God. Peter's readers needed to be reminded about that, and so do we. Christians aren't immune to adversity, trials, grief, loss, or pain, and we shouldn't expect to be. Christians experience life on this earth as any other human being experiences life, with all the stuff it entails, good and bad. But we have an ace up our sleeves, this constant, unchanging, always available love of God. It lifts and sustains us, and from it springs the hope, the living hope that Peter speaks about when he encouraged the faithful in Asia Minor. Hope for the future and strength to help in the present time. And just to get you to think maybe a little less intellectually about God's love for us, because so much rests on this, let me share a passage from our book study a few years ago. What a different relationship begins to develop with God when you realize that God is head over heels in love with you. God is simply giddy about you. He just can't help loving you. And he loves you deeply, recklessly, and extravagantly, just as you are. God knows you are a sinner, but your sins do not surprise him, nor do they reduce in the slightest his love for you. Have you ever heard God's love for you described like that? I certainly haven't. It's pretty powerful. It's the difference between knowing that God loves me and experiencing God's love for me as part of a deep and intimate relationship. It's the kind of love that created us. That's the kind of love that is with us every waking minute of the day. That's the kind of love that walks right beside us when we're having really crappy days or weeks or months. And it is therein our hope and our strength lay. It's indestructible. No war will ever overcome it, and no pandemic. And when that love is shared in a community of believers, how much stronger does it become? I believe that's why we remain so connected and strong as a parish, even after almost 21 months of worshiping on Zoom, even after wave of COVID dashes our hopes for a return to normal, even with the uncertainties around returning to safe in-person or hybrid services, the uncertainties of when can we move into our new church building. Somehow, we have not let go of the fact that God remains in the midst of us. We are not walking alone, and we don't have to do everything on our own. We are united in our faith, trust, and love of God, and very importantly, for each other as a community. We have rallied to one another's side through loss, sickness, frustration, ambiguity, and tragedy. We've continued to share in times of study, prayer, friendship, worship, celebration, and joy. And that's not possible unless a living hope is woven into our fabric. And we remind each other of this through our love and service to one another. It is a difficult and challenging time for humankind today. But superimposed over all of our earthly woes, all the muck and the mire down here, there is a life that can be lived fully in the joy and love and wonder and awe of God's deep and sustaining love for us, and giddy and reckless and extravagant. is that what Peter means when he says, although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The people in northern Turkey, about 30 years after the death of Christ, needed to hear this, and we need to hear it too. This strange time we are living in will become a footnote in history. Let's continue to remind each other and ourselves that we are not walking through it alone, that buoyed by God's love for us and through our love for one another, we already have one foot in his kingdom. And unlike the kingdom of this world, God's kingdom will not pass away. That is our living hope. Amen.